Because Passion and Louis Giglio and everyone is coming to South Africa, we got ourselves a bonus. Demi Lee and Tim Tebow, I had to go Google to find out how to say your surname, are coming to South Africa as well, which is the reason I've got the two of them lekker lekker on Zoom. Hello, guys.
Hi, thank you so much for having us.
Okay, so what I always do when I have married couple is they get to introduce one another. Because you know, South Africans,
Oh.
we don't know baseball or football or anything like that. We know rugby.
Perfect.
So we won't ask you. Demi Lee, tell us about Tim. If you have someone who's never met him before, forget the biog. I don't want to know the grand stuff. This is the guy himself. Who is he?
Gosh, well, I'm glad you're not asking about football or baseball because I
You
honestly
wouldn't know it
still know
anyways.
nothing. Well, very much just learning, just have a few jokes to be able to carry a
That's it.
conversation. Janine, oh, well, first and foremost, I think he's my absolute best friend. And I'm so honored to just be able to get to do life with him. He is one of the most protective, thoughtful people that I've ever met. And a fun fact, Tim is a really amazing gift giver.
I
A
don't know
very
about that.
thoughtful, very, very thoughtful gift giver. So it's just one of the ways that he loves people very, very well.
Personality-wise, I mean, he does look like an extrovert, and I don't know if that's life, that's just because you're in showbiz when it comes to the sports and everything, whether that's forced you to be. Are you yourself a people kind of person?
I definitely am a people person. I love being around people. I would say I'm more of an extrovert than an introvert. I love getting the chance to meet people. I've been so fortunate to grow up overseas in the Philippines for 5 years, but then travel to a lot of places around the world. And I just really believe God's used a lot of people around the world to impact my life in different ways. And I love getting the chance to travel around the world, to meet new people, to be impacted and inspired and encouraged by so many people. So we both love getting the chance to do that.
I'd actually
Okay.
say Tim loves people so much that it fuels him and gives him energy. You know, where I think I'm an extroverted introvert a little bit. So sometimes I just close the door and have a little bit of just alone Demi time, but not Tim.
Okay, Tim, describe this woman. All we know is what we see on TV and all the flashy places, but the girl at home before she's got the makeup and the first cup of coffee.
I would say when I get to describe Demi is someone that is fierce, she's competitive, she's loyal, she's deeply caring. She wants to do her best, whether that's in honoring the Lord, whether that's in being a wife, whether that's in business, whether that's in ministry. She has a deep level of care that doesn't always get seen. It doesn't get seen in just sometimes videos or I think kind of sometimes what the world would see. But she so has a heart to want to make an impact, to want to do good, to want to make other people's life better. And I just don't think that can come across just on stages the way that I get to see it. But I'd say I love it that she uses that fierce drive for so many good things, even with the bun and no coffee.
I want to ask you the hard question, Demi, because you've tasted success since you fell out. I mean, right from the beginning, from leadership right through to, you know, the school and then afterwards with the studies and then with Miss SA and Miss Universe, blah, blah, blah. Jesus, when you get everything and it goes well with you, you never forced to that corner where you say, I can't do this. Jesus, you king in my life. Nah? So I want to find out how did you meet him and why?
Janine, I think there was a big part of my life, especially in my teenage years, where I grew up in church. I grew up in a Christian home, and I've read, you know, so many Bible verses, Psalm 139, etc. You know, but it was very hard for me to actually believe that that was the way that God viewed me. And I remember very sadly and tragically, a friend of ours passed away in 11th grade. And our whole school kind of came together to just pray over him and his family and his loved ones. And it was just such a pivotal moment in my life where our youth pastor asked, listen, If anybody doubts where they will get to spend eternity, I want to give you an opportunity to never doubt that again. And that day, I raised my hand and I remember him praying with me. And I remember it being one of the best, probably the best day of my life, knowing that I will get to spend eternity with my maker and that I never ever have to doubt that again. So I'll say that's a little bit of my backstory, but let me be honest with you, there's been so many times in my life where I have definitely focused on my own capabilities and my own confidence instead of relying solely on God. And that's a lesson that you kind of learn over and over and will probably work through for the rest of my life because there's only one perfect person that's ever walked this planet, and his name is Jesus.
Amen. Okay, Tim. Yes, I know you grew up with missionary parents and everything like that, but in sports, and I don't know if that's the same in America, I do get the idea that it is. But here it's not safe to say, I'm a Christian, this is what I stand for. If you start quoting scriptures and that kind of thing, it closes doors for you, it doesn't open doors for you. People don't want to bribe with you and whatever like that. Now, why do you get away with this? I mean, when you were young, when you put the 316 on your cheeks and everything like that. And you're in a world that's very liberal and ve you know, how are you doing this? Or are you just too big? They can't do anything about you.
No, I don't know about any of that. I think actually my nature is I'm a people pleaser. I was the baby of five in our family, and I've always wanted to please my parents and my siblings and friends, and I'm a people pleaser. And so what that really leads to is when you're a people pleaser, you want people to like you. And I remember my freshman year in college when we were getting a little bit more, publicity, praise and criticism. I remember going to my dad and saying, "Dad, if these people that are criticizing me, all the time, Dad, if they just got to know me, Dad, they would like me." And he's like, "Timmy, you're right, because you're likable. But Timmy, some people, they wouldn't want to get to know you, because some people wouldn't even want to like you." And it was very impactful for me, that thought. And at the same time, I was reading a book about Winston Churchill, who at a time in his life was getting criticized all over the majority of the world. And he had a quote says, "If you have enemies good, it means you stood for something at least once in your life." And I thought, no way, that can't be right. How could it be good to have enemies? Like, yeah, that's not good, right? And but I was so intrigued with that. And then at the same time, I was reading, just in studying scripture, and one verse that stood out to me was John 16:33, where Jesus, the night before he goes to the cross, tells his disciples, who really don't get it at this moment, a lot like me in my life, just don't always get it. And he looks at them and he says, "For in me you have peace, in the world you will have trials and tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And I think for me, I've just many times been a people pleaser and given way to that. But then I try to focus on, it's not about the praise or the criticism. It is about where do we find peace? Where do we find hope? Where do we find joy? And it is only in the person of Jesus, because he is constant. What he did yesterday, today, and forever, what he did on the cross, he defeated sin and death, and he did it for us. And so I think the focus for me, when I get it maybe a little bit more right, is focusing on the promises of God and not pleasing people. And when I get it wrong, it's most of the time trying to make people like me so that I can be friends with people, so there can be harmony. But more than harmony, it's I would rather have true impact by trying to live out the promises of God, but something I get wrong all the time.
I know the two of you must have told your love story so many times, and it might be a little irritating that you have to tell it again, but you haven't told it to me yet. And I know it starts with Franya, but we've got to end with how you are connected with passion. And obviously, Louis Giglio married you. So just give me the short
Yes.
version, whoever can tell it the shortest, nicest,
Yeah.
soppiest way.
So we're so fortunate to be able to really meet through Demi's sister Franya. So one of our initiatives is something called Night to Shine. It's a worldwide celebration for individuals with special needs. It's in the States we have like proms, and so it's a prom-like feel that's a celebration. And we're so fortunate.
Kind of
Years,
like a matric farewell,
yeah.
right?
And years, but for all ages, and for and we years ago we had our first one in South Africa, and I got to hear a little bit of Demi's story sharing about her sister. And so we invited them to be a part of Night to Shine. And through that, I got to get connected to Demi. And they actually weren't able to attend Night to Shine. But later on, we got connected and started talking. And there hasn't been a day that we haven't since.
That's right.
We've been friends with Pastor Louie and Miss Shelley for many years, and this in the course of our relationship, they were just so sweet and caring, and really turned into mentors and did pre-marriage counseling with us. And then we're so sweet to come and officiate the wedding here. And I've been fortunate to speak at Passion for quite a few years, since maybe, I don't know, 2017, maybe it was the first year. I spoke at Passion, maybe 2016, 17, and then have been so fortunate to be a part of it many years now, and just love the whole team at Passion, whether it's Passion Conference or Passion Church or all the outreaches they do. And then when we were invited to be a part of this, it just was so exciting for us because we just love South Africa so much. We just love the people, and we love Louis and Passion, and what a great combination that we get a night of loving Jesus with good friends, with good family, and with the country we love so much. So we're just so excited.
And you know,
Okay, I
Janine, I
know.
feel like,
Y'all know,
oh,
go on.
sorry. I feel like we as a country are our strongest when we stand together. You know, we see that with sports. All the rugby fans can attest to that.
Springbok.
There we go. He's learning. And I'm just so excited for the Church of South Africa to come together for a night of just worshiping. Just coming together, worshiping God together, both in Pretoria and in Cape Town. And it's open to all ages. Pastor Louis will be there. We'll get to be there. The Passion Band will be there. So we're so excited just for South Africa to experience a night like that. And I think it just is going to be a night filled with so much hope.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, Miss Janine, that we love so much about it too is how much when you're at a Passion event and you're worshiping with thousands of people, the sound and the feel and the it's contagious. When you're surrounded by so many people that love the Lord, that are worshiping together, it's there's something contagious in just in the spirit of it. And it's really special.
Demi-Lee, we love that you still have your South African accent. That to me is
Yeah,
beautiful
I
after
do
being
too.
married
I
for
love it. I don't want her to lose it.
I know Americans keep wanting South Africans to speak. They love our accent, though we don't. But so you are going to be in South Africa. Thousands of people will be at the events, but thousands of them won't. Millions of them won't. So, what's the one thing of the message that you're going to bring when you're here that you would love to stick when you leave?
That's a good point. You know, I think it's so easy for us to root our identity in something that is tangible, something that we can see, that we can feel, that's right there in front of us. And usually when those tangible things fall away, whether that's a title, a role, a corner office, that dream, that perfect vehicle, whatever that is. Once those things fall away, it can rattle us. It can rattle our faith. It can make us question our purpose, our worth, our value. And I'm just so excited to be able to speak a little bit on all of the ways that I have placed my worth and value in tangible things that essentially did not last. And how I've discovered the true, where my true worth, my true value, my true identity ought to be rooted in.
And yours, Tim?
Well, I think that one of the amazing things about Passion is it's just covered and littered everywhere with hope. The hope of the gospel, the hope of God's promises, the hope of eternity, the hope of heaven, right? So when you show up, you might feel like, man, life has knocked me down. Yeah, but we have hope even in the midst of that. We have hope in the despair. We have hope in the valley. Hope doesn't just show up on the mountaintop or after a good day or award or Miss Universe, because hope is based on God's promises, and his promises are the same yesterday and today and forever. And we're just grateful that we get to show up with the hope of the good news of the gospel, people. And it would be, and we would celebrate it. Just like the angel said, it's the good news of great joy that would should be for all the people. And together we get to come together for all the people and celebrate the good news of great joy. And that's the gospel. It is good news. And the Greek word euangelion, when we look at it, we're reminded that it means victory, that it is good news because Jesus has won for us. And we want everyone to hear, to know, to meditate, to believe the good news of the gospel, what Jesus has won and already done for us.
Okay, can I know our time is done. I just want to bless you. Matthew
Oh,
5,
Jesus.
verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." And you're already set on a hill. You're already shining the light. But Matthew also says, "Shine your light in such a way that people will see the light and they will honor God in heaven." May you get this thing right, that when people see your light that's not being hidden, that they will catch it, that you're giving God his glory, that they will understand that you're working on his fame and not your own, and may it work so that it will have eternal effect. Everything of yours will count eternally and have that meaning. And that's what we want to bless you with in the name of Jesus
Oh,
today.
thank you,
Thank you,
Janine. That's
Janine.
so sweet.
Very, very sweet of you. Thank you
Thank you
so
so
much.
much.
Thank you. We hope we get to see you there.
Of course we're going to be there, Mum.
Perfect.
I love it.